It is the key to finding the success and the freedom that we all crave. And it's not about bludgeoning yourself, working yourself to death, being miserable, trying to find more productivity hacks. It's really about connecting into who you truly are, remembering what it is that brings you alive. I could feel the progression of your emotions as you made that piece. Tentative to, oh, hell yeah, this is awesome. And we can feel that it's a journey. There is this moment before we begin that is exactly as you described. We're intimidated, we're apprehensive, we're fearful because we don't know if we have what it takes. And we discover the second we start moving, we absolutely do have what it takes.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. So glad you're listening to Health Power. I just took such an amazing class with the fantastic Susie DeVille. Now, Susie has been on the show before. She is an author, speaker, and founder and CEO of the Innovation and Creativity Institute. She is on a mission to show entrepreneurs and visionary leaders how to connect with the source waters of their creativity, hone in on whom they truly are, and unlock their entrepreneurial potential. She is also the author of the award-winning book, which I love so much, Buoyant, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Becoming Wildly Successful, Creative, and Free. And it's available wherever books are sold. Susie, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Now, for people who missed our prior interviews, just don't go now, of course. You don't want to miss this, but be sure to go to the Health Power page and you can listen to them all. So Susie is back because, number one, she's amazing. And number two, I took her Sketchbook Entrepreneur Masterclass. I was ambivalent because it has to deal with art. And I grew up where my sister was a creative one. My brother was a challenging one. I don't even know what I was, Susie, but I certainly wasn't the artistic one. So talk to us about this class. And then I'm really excited because Susie's going to ask me some questions to help you understand how much benefit I got from it.
Well, perfect. So you are not alone in thinking that art and creativity are not a world that is open to you. It is something that the vast majority of us feel. And generally speaking, it springs from something like you just referenced. There's a person in the family who kind of owns either sports or academia or the arts. And then we sort of have to find our place. The other thing that happens is that we have some kind of an art shaming incident, typically, where we create something, we show it to somebody, whether it's a peer or a teacher or a parent. And the response is not fabulous. And it can make us just decide in the moment at a very tender age, oh, that's a world that's not for me. I don't want to have anything to do with it because I can't succeed. And I'm not capable of drawing something that looks like something in the world.
Right.
So I'm not going to do it. I'm going to opt out.
Right.
And so I am on this mission to connect everyone back to their innate creativity because I have discovered that it is the key to finding the success and the freedom that we all crave. And it's not about bludgeoning yourself, working yourself to death, being miserable, trying to find more productivity hacks. It's really about connecting into who you truly are, remembering what it is that brings you alive, and moving your hands and making something. And I can take the biggest, most hard-charging believer in the fact that they cannot do art and show them immediately. I can show you on the very first day that, yes, you're an artist. And something starts to chip away from us in terms of these layers of gunk that have glommed onto us over the years.
Yes.
So I created the Sketchbook Entrepreneur Masterclass to take people on a six-week journey And this is all taught on Zoom. And I teach it live twice a week. And there's a cozy circle of people who are in transition, people who are entrepreneurs, people who are not entrepreneurs. But they all share in common this sense that life was meant to be more. And yes, that they want color and vibrancy and passion and beauty back into their lives. So I was so delighted that you were able to join us for this last cohort.
Yeah, it was great. Susie, can I move you over just a little?
Okay. Which way? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That way. Yeah. Thank you. Just because when I make the reel, yeah, so they'll get the other. I just wanted. Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Well, for me, it's interesting. You know, my parents raised me that homemade gifts are better than store-bought gifts. And they never criticized my gifts. I mean, my drawings or my art. I just saw my sister. I would draw a stick figure until I was like, I don't know now. And she would be drawing these amazing things. The one time my mother did reject a gift is when I bought it. And she made me feel really bad. She was like, you shouldn't have bought that. I was like, Mother, just take it. But anyway, so the art shaming can come from us also, yes, right? By comparing ourselves to others. Even if your parents are positive in that area, you can look at your siblings and be like, holy cow, why don't I have any talent?
Yes, because our definition of what art is formed when we're very young, and we always attach it to, okay, can I draw a horse that looks like a horse?
Yes.
We don't consider any other kind of art. So right? If our horse looks like mine did, which looked like a coffee table instead of a horse, then you think, oh my gosh, this is A, embarrassing, B, no fun, because as a person who's used to studying and working to be successful in school, I didn't have those skills yet because we weren't taught those art lessons. And right, we certainly weren't exposed to notions of collage or sketching or abstract art of any kind, and the whole world of what art comprises.
I have to say, when I got all the supplies in the mail, there's wonderful supplies we order, I was intimidated. And then when we painted, the stroke, the smoothness, the color, the vibrancy, I wore a vibrant shirt on purpose today because it's Susie, so vibrant. I loved it. I still felt that insecurity, but I really enjoyed it. And I found it very mindful and very peaceful. And I look forward to getting back to that when I'm feeling stressed, or maybe to prevent stress, right? Like do something creative, which you talk about. If you can talk to us about that important thing that we need to do every day, do something, right?
Like yes, that. Absolutely. So you hit on several juicy things. And the first is that I want to talk about the sort of lore and the gear around creativity and around art. Mm-hmm. There are umpteen million different kinds of paints, brushes, pencils, pens, markers, papers. There are as many tools and types of gear that you could possibly imagine. So we can, again, make an assumption, oh, that world is not for me because there are all these complicated tools.
Yes.
And we can say, well, I'm not going to be able to figure out the difference between this brush and that brush, much less make something that looks like anything.
Right.
So I want to assure people right out of the gate that you can start with literally a little kit that you would have as part of a package that you would prepare a child with for school. Little tubes of acrylic paint, a handful of brushes, some paper that's going to be able to hold the paint, and something to put water in, and you're off and running. It is not critical to have all this kinds of fancy gear, for sure.
Yes.
The other thing is that when we get started, there is this moment before we begin that is exactly as you described. We're intimidated. We're apprehensive. We're fearful because we don't know if we have what it takes.
Right.
And we discover the second we start moving We absolutely do have what it takes, because it's not about what the outcome is, the peace that we create. You may love it, you may not, it's not relevant. It's about what you described, how you feel when you are in the process of making something.
Yeah.
That connects us into our intuition, our imagination, our problem-solving skills. It calms us down. It's almost like a different kind of meditation. Resets your central nervous system, gives you more courage, fosters your willingness, your sense of what is possible. And just in 5 to 10 minutes a day, connecting with that, doing something very simple, even a doodle on a scrap piece of paper, will work. So I'm so glad that you hung in there, because this is where we lose people, is in that fear until we get started. And then you surprise yourself in what you see in front of you. And it can be incredibly emotional and very healing.
Yes, it was. I do admit that I was nervous, because I felt like, based on what we've been taught about how art should look, I felt like all the other women were artists, right? But after a while, I felt like, well, this is good in its own way. Now, see, I'm still not totally there where I'm not comparing, but that's something I need to acknowledge and I need to work on. But that doesn't mean I didn't have tremendous growth in other areas. I just still was like, there was one woman and she drew this boat with the mountains and the thing. And I had like little dots and like little scribbles. And I'm like, what? This is amazing. What did she do?
So
some people are artists, right? I mean, for like maybe for their work or for hobbies or something. And I'm not. So it's a new thing.
I would say that what you're describing and how you're describing it is what we all do. Whether we're in the art arena or in the entrepreneurship arena, standing in line at the grocery store, whatever, we are obsessed with what everybody else is doing, right? And we will be completely trapped in compare and despair.
I know,
if we don't acknowledge that the person who did the piece that you're describing, which had the mountain scene in the boat, reflected exactly what she was feeling. And she titled that piece Adrift, because she's kind of between worlds right now.
Right.
And what we witnessed and what we felt as a result of her being so honest to expressing her emotion is what is so powerful about the piece. It's not the technical aspects.
Right.
So you can do a Cy Twombly drawing, which, if you're not familiar with what his work looks like, it's these bold scribbles that somebody passing by on the street can say, well, I could do that, right? You know, but it's more than the technical acumen in a piece. We can feel exactly what that artist was feeling. And that sends us on a very different kind of a journey. So if we can look at other people's work and acknowledge and appreciate that we can feel them, or also notice if we can't, right?
Yeah.
Because that's helpful and interesting too. And then take a very kind eye to our work and just notice what we love about what we made.
Yes.
Because the piece that you made had so many ethereal qualities to it, and it was so vivacious and so free. I could feel the progression of your emotions as you made that piece.
Right.
Tentative to, oh, hell yeah, this is awesome. Right. And we can feel that, and it's a journey. And
that's
what we're after. We may love the colors. We may love the marks that you made. We may love the composition. But what we're really after is how you make us feel.
Right. My favorite thing was, I think it was one of the first things we did with the frog tape.
Yep.
You would have us just, you know, draw, okay, make like this kind of line or that kind of line. I can't describe it as well as you. I don't know. My husband and my daughter were like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's like, wow, I love that. And if people don't know what frog tape is, it is fun. I've done some other fun things with this instance. You talked to us about that.
So frog tape is like a painter's tape of sorts. And you can get it in different lengths and widths. It comes in a roll and you can place it down on a piece of sketchbook paper and create some kind of a pattern. So you're blocking off certain sections depending upon what kind of pattern that you create. In this particular class that you're talking about, we made a grid with our tape. So just a very simple grid. And then I had you do a series of moves. So I dictated, use your non-dominant hand, use your right hand, but close your eyes, do a quick mark, do a big bold mark, use a different color, you know, so all these different kinds of moves. What's fun about that is that I am essentially pulling you out of the art,
right?
Which sounds weird. But that's where the best art is, because we're not overthinking it. We're not all hung up on perfectionism, and we're not trying to control how the piece looks. You're just playing, right?
Yeah.
And when you're playing, that comes through. So yes. After you make all these marks and we then remove the tape, you're left with a series of little vignettes that all kind of relate to one another because we've used the same tools.
Right.
But yet they're all different. And yeah, you can notice really cool things in your art that you couldn't in a million years recreate if you were trying to from a very sort of pinched, worrying, obsessed stance.
Right. I also like when you had us draw some things with our eyes closed, and those came out surprisingly better than I thought they would, because that's kind of just completely new. I'd never done that before. What would you say is the purpose of that exercise?
So a blind contour drawing is something that many teachers before me have used. Dr. Betty Edwards, who wrote Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain, may be the most famous person to do that. But blind contour drawing connects us in a meditative state with the subject that we're drawing. And what's beautiful about it is that you're able to look at your paper only at the beginning, just to orient where your pen or your pencil is going to be located on the page. Then you're focused on the object for the rest of the time. You're not allowed to look. So the perfectionistic controlling parts of us are dying to look.
Oh, yes.
We want to make a great drawing, right? We're just so hung up.
He pulled up something. Remember, I held up a book so I wouldn't look.
Yes. And what happens is when you notice your brain going, take a look. It's not good. Where are you going? If you notice it and then come and resist it and stay in the drawing, you're pruning away old perfectionistic neural connections, and you're rewiring your brain to being more in flow, more in ease.
Yeah.
Then you keep going, and there is this moment where you totally sort of surrender and you stop fighting yourself and you really just connect into the joy and the fun of drawing this thing.
Yeah.
What happens at the end is that invariably a blind contour drawing has this incredible energy to it. It has a cool lines. They're just very expressive, and you can feel something with these works that you can't feel in any other kind of approach. It's just a unique experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way to help sort of guide you across the threshold into surrendering and feeling in your body what it feels like to stop fighting against yourself and trying to make something perfect.
You know, one of the things that I really loved as well is, you know, I'm really big on finding your why. In my book, Clean Eating, Dirty Sex, there's a segment on that. I talk about that a lot on the show, but you're talking about finding your why, how, what. You had us watch this great video. I want to say Simon Sinek. Yes. And then you had us doing great exercises to help us. And that really helped me a lot because I love Health Power. I'm going to keep doing it, but I like to have, I'm looking for something else. And I thought, well, maybe I should do wellness coaching because I have an MPH and but I haven't done that in a long time. And maybe I should do this. And then this opportunity came right during this class that I've been thinking about for years, Susie, and didn't have the courage to go after. So if you want to jump into your questions, I think that will lead nicely into what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. So I am very curious what the transformations were that you experienced as a result of being in the masterclass.
Well, the first one was to not judge myself as much, still working on it, to not say art is just for people who are artistic. Like, what does that mean? The power of creating something was really beautiful, discovering that I can do things that I'm afraid to do, discovering there's a meditative aspect that is really healthy because I'm not good at meditation. I try and I'm going to keep trying, but to be able to just sit down and just be completely lost and just making lines, not lines, but, you know, using my paintbrush and even closing my eyes or using the tape, it really helped me grow. And I'm really proud of the work that I did in there, even though I'm still like, it wasn't as good, but I'm, like I said, I'm a work in progress, but I did make a lot. I did make a lot of progress.
Well, and I want to point out too, is that when you are aware of the comparing tendency, you're halfway home.
That's true. Yes.
You were really so much closer to being freed from it than you are attached to it.
Yes.
So I want you to pat yourself on the back. That's a big deal because it will follow you everywhere in your life for the greatest good.
Yeah, that's
true. And you will continue to set yourself free. You will continue to release things that make you feel bad or limiting beliefs. And you will discover, and I'm curious if this is already true, that you're going to begin attracting things that are a reflection of who you truly are and are in total alignment with that authentic self.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to jump into that, but I wanted to mention something about my daughter because her friends that she's had growing up, they were always great at art, right? As people say, and she always felt really bad. Well, even before I started this class, she started drawing on the computer. She got this program and she can sketch right on her iPad. And then she started doing drawings on paper. Then she got crayons. Then she got, you know, paints. And it was so beautiful to see this as an example for me. And when I told her about this class, she was overjoyed. And she's always like, Mom, you can art. That's like the, I don't know if that's her slang or Gen Z or whatever it is. She's like, Mom, you can art. You can. You just have to do it. And so it was interesting timing where something shifted in her limited beliefs. And then now something shifted in my limited beliefs. So that was nice.
Oh, that's magnificent. And there is this really wonderful tendency for this freedom to be contagious. And it has a power of accumulation to it also. So the more the more we connect, and again, 5-10 minutes is fine. You'll find that you'll want to go longer. But for those who may be listening who are saying, oh my gosh, my schedule's bananas. There's no way. Are you telling me I'm going to crack out the paints in the morning, you know, on when I'm supposed to be doing 15,000 other things? So it can be literally when you're having a cup of coffee, one thing in your lap and a pencil and you're good.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But if you want to touch on the authenticity, I think that was really important too.
So I really wanted to create with a masterclass was to bridge this divide between entrepreneurs and the ability to really speak what it is that lights them on fire and the offer that they have to the world. So a lot of us got into business and we were mostly clear. We kind of circled around what it was that we wanted to do. And then when it came to marketing, we would put sort of general messages out, whether it's on a website or social media or talking to people. But we're focusing on what we're delivering. And what Simon Sinek is talking about is the fact that people don't buy what we do, they buy why we do it.
Right.
So when we get really clear on what it is that we believe passionately and why we are making and delivering and offering what we're doing, people fall right. in love with that and are so attracted to that. And the words that we use to describe our why come from a very soulful, deep place within us. It's mm-hmm. personal. It's not yes. this, you know, what we think the great marketing speak is of the day that no one is interested in, by the way, because it doesn't stand out amongst all the competition. But when you speak from your authentic self and what you are desperate to teach people mm-hmm. or desperate for people to know, then all of a sudden it cuts through the din and lands on the very ears that you are really wanting folks to connect with.
Yes.
And that takes away all of this kind of push marketing where we're just frantically throwing spaghetti on the wall. Mm-hmm. And now we're pulling people to us. We're attracting the people to us because right. we're putting what's only true for us out there.
Right.
And it's sort of like if you think of a cartoon with a little wavy line of the odor of bacon cooking, mm-hmm. and there's like a person down the hall who's like sitting up smelling the bacon. Well, that's what this marketing is. It just sort of wafts through the world and it goes to the hearts and minds that need it most.
Right. Yeah. And that's really important. And I was in a really bad, not just with my health and some injuries and things, but just in a bad headspace. I had a boss that I figured out was gaslighting me, and I kind of knew, but I kind of kept hoping that I wasn't listening to my intuition. I wasn't listening to my voice saying, this isn't good. Even my daughter was like, Mom, he's a narcissistic abuser. You got to get out of there. You know? And she reads a lot. And I just kept thinking, no, even though I'm like, no, that's not right. This, I just knew, and I couldn't break out of it. And then I was able to, and then I felt good, but I felt sad because it was something I really wanted to work. And then this opportunity just like landed in my lap, and it's exactly what I've been wanting to do for years. And it's just a weird, maybe it's not weird, right? I mean, I'm sure you don't think it is.
It's kind of routine, actually.
Right.
It seems like what I'm saying is magical thinking. I understand because I'm the gal who used to work 80 hours a week, who 100% subscribed to the notion of what's quote unquote reality, what's quote unquote pragmatic,
right.
And that I could effort my way to success. And I did. I was exhausted and my health was atrocious, mm-hmm. But I was successful, quote unquote. So
right.
if someone had said to me, oh, well, if you go through this process of connecting with your innate creativity and you go on this creative rebel's voyage, you're going to discover this, that, and this, and you're going to experience all of these other things. And oh, by the way, you're going to begin quantum leaping in concert with all kinds of synchronicities in the world, and all kinds of magic is going to be unleashed. I would have laughed in your face.
Yes.
However, I will tell you, I see it over and over and over. I see it all the time. I experience it myself. All my clients experience it. My students experience it. It is probably the most delicious and mind-bending results that I witness. And it is all about first getting clear and remembering those things that we stopped doing. That used to bring us joy. And then all of a sudden, there is this new kind of energy that's released.
Yes. And your class couldn't have come at a better time because of my foot tendonitis. I can't walk my dogs. My joy, my biggest joy outside of my family is taking my dogs out, going to the woods, bringing my blue, well, he has a blue nose pit, bringing my sweet, lovely pit bull out in the world for people like, oh my God, he's so sweet. What is that? A pit bull. Oh my God. Yeah. Well, then educating people and getting and seeing how sweet he is with everybody and just being out in the world. One of my favorite things to do. We're about 45 minutes from this town that's really cute, has great restaurants, and there's a beach and wonderful. And even though the weather's not great, I would still take blue. I can't do that. I can't even walk around the block. And I have been down, Susie. I mean, not being able to exercise in that way. And then I have elbow tendonitis at the same time. I'm a mess, but I'm working on it. I'm already starting physical therapy this week. Just feeling stuck. And then knowing this situation with my boss was crappy. And just, this just was perfect timing. And when you asked me, I was ambivalent because I thought, oh, I want art, you know, as my daughter would say. But thank goodness I did, because it's really made things that are hard easier, right? I'm still sad I can't walk around the block. I'm not going to lie, but I'm opened up in different ways that make me excited.
Absolutely. And, you know, in my book, I talk about the 5 M's.
I love that. Yeah.
Morning pages, meditation, movement, moments of inspired learning, and making something. And when we sort of cramp off either by choice or by, you know, situations, cramp off not moving or not doing morning pages or not making something.
Right.
It's like being a bucket with holes on the bottom.
Yes.
Our energy starts to just kind of drain from us.
Right. I'm a very holy bucket.
and when that starts, it's a very slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
Because the brain loves to leap onto a situation like that and just pile on more limiting beliefs.
Yes.
So if you don't have another kind of a life preserver to sort of attach you to the shore of yourself,
right,
then you can get into a real funk.
But
making something can pull you out.
Absolutely.
And take you out of the quicksand for sure.
It did. Yeah, your class was like, I mean, just excellent timing and so wonderful. But I know you have more questions for me.
Yeah,
so
I'm curious. when you noticed and looked around in the class, what were some of the transformations that you witnessed that are memorable to you?
First of all, the women in that class, I want to be friends with all of them. Like I wish we could all do this in person and hang around and make a meal. There was such beautiful energy and such wonderful women in the class. I think one of the most powerful things was when the woman who, I don't want to share her name, because I don't know if, you know, that's probably fine, but
yeah,
I'll call her Sue. When she broke down and was talking about how she's been treated and how women in general are treated in a man's world, and really coming to terms with how that's affected her career and her life. And I think a lot of women are feel that way. It doesn't mean we hate men. I'm just saying, but there's this thing about living in this society and, you know, you can be just as great as a man, if not greater, and still have these limitations. And when she really opened up and cried about it, I felt like that, like she was going to move through that pain and get to the other side. That was really powerful.
And what's interesting about that particular example and so moving about it is that that awareness had been tugging at her sleeve.
Yes.
For a very long time. And it wasn't until she got into this process as a part of being in the class and doing these exercises and focusing in on different kinds of things than her brain typically focuses on, that it was able to break through and land in her awareness. And when that happens, there is a rush of emotion.
Right.
It's almost overwhelming what can happen. And she actually felt it very strongly in the center of her chest. And when we cry like that, a lot of times people can mistake that level of emotion as being sad. But really what it is being able to reclaim, as Dr. Martha Beck would say, your hope.
Yes.
So we don't cry when we lose hope. We cry when we get it back. And she had the first whisperings of this awareness of seeing now what she could possibly do with this in her work and in what she creates, and how she could potentially change how she coaches, how she lives. All of these things are now rolling around in her brain. And it's equal parts exciting as well as overwhelming.
Right. I also love that the women, we were all, my guess is from looking at the women, we were all 50, between 50 and 70, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that because, I mean, I have friends of all ages, but there was something about the experience we all had, the life experience, the things we've been through as women, all being older women in a sense. It was really grounding and beautiful. I really enjoyed that. It makes me want to hang around with more women. I mean, I have a best friend. I'm lucky. We text every day, every morning. We say good morning. And then we always check in. I might see her once a week, but it's this daily thing. And she's a few years older than me. And it's so beautiful. And women friendships bring so much. And even though I don't know if I'm going to keep in touch or not, I'd like to. But just feeling that sense of community is something I'm lacking. And that's a big part of your class too.
Yes. And thank you for saying that, because sure, curating the community is one of the most important things that I can do.
Yeah.
In addition to ensuring that the people who are gathering around the campfire of this creativity journey together, that everyone is a good fit in, and I don't mean anything about quote unquote talent, because that word is irrelevant to me, but
right,
really about where your heart is more
yes,
than anything else. Yes. And the other part of that is creating a very safe place for
yes,
people to speak with enormous vulnerability and to create with enormous vulnerability. Those opportunities to speak and create and connect from that level of raw, you're almost kind of surprised that it's coming out of your mouth. And I've had people tell me who've taken the class, I've never felt so safe in my life, whether it was a learning environment or anywhere.
Wow.
So
yes,
that helps provide us, like if when we don't have the courage, we can kind of borrow somebody else's, you know, from a very well curated community. We can lean into the courage of the group to kind of go to the next level with what it is that we want to create.
And I think also because women become invisible at a certain age in our society, and to see all of the creativity and strengths and interesting careers and what they're doing, and like, we are strong. You know, my wrinkles shouldn't make it that I'm not important anymore, right? It's ridiculous. So that was beautiful too.
There is a life force that you can feel in, even though we're on opposite sides of the United States in some
right,
cases. So this is so interesting to me, how powerful a virtual experience can be.
Right.
And how much growth can happen in such a short period of time when that level of willingness and that sort of explore attitude is present. And we learn from each other, and we also tap into something within ourselves that we didn't even know that we had.
Yeah, that's true. And like I said, my husband and daughter were so excited, especially my husband, because he meditates every day. He has a 25-year meditation practice. He does art. He creates music. He writes horror fiction novels and fantasy novels. I mean, and he always says, you need, you know, like the meditation. But when I told him I was doing this, he's like, oh my God, that's fantastic. Because you are creative. Like I was like, oh, I'm not creative. No, honey, you are. And so that was really, I mean, he's a very supportive husband. I'm very lucky in general, but it was just really nice how excited he was that I did the class and seeing that difference in my confidence. It's really
nice. Absolutely. I really hope that you might share one or two things that you made.
So for people who are listening, if you want to see what we're talking about, you can go to at Lisa Davis MPH on Instagram and on TikTok, and also coming soon on YouTube. I will let everyone know when that's out. But this is one I was saying in the first place that I really loved. This was my favorite.
It's beautiful.
That's
look at the bold, tape. the bold moves, the great color choices.
I love this
all
one.
The sort of ethereal lines that you made with the black brush. You can tell when you've got the brush in the left hand or the right hand. And you can just feel the surprise, right? You're yeah. watching this come alive and you're just delighted and we can feel it.
I love this one because there's something about this. I don't know. I love the pink, the way that just made that arch. And it's interesting to look at different ways. Yeah.
So beautiful.
One that I made about my mother, it was something where we went from like a dark place and kind of came out the other side. Well, I had explained, I still, and it's been 28 years, haven't come out the other side, but it changed. So what teardrops. I think I should have done black and then gray and then white. And then the reason they turn into circles is because I'm still blue. It doesn't take over my life, but there is this veil of sadness in me that I think will always be there, even though I'm a genuinely happy person. But when I compared this again, that woman with the boat and the mountains, I was like, but that's what art looks like. And I had to pull myself back. Yeah, but this is how I draw. So,
well, but here's what I want folks to pay attention to here.
Okay.
We can be initially drawn to a work and not have a prefrontal cortex understanding as to why that is.
Mm-hmm.
I can take your work in 10 seconds and I can start to think about, okay, what is happening here? Why is it that I'm leaning in? What is it about this work that I find so visually compelling and emotional for me? And I can see a journey in this work. I can see one that you've already been on. I can see the one that's in progress. Mm-hmm. And I can also feel the sort of roller coaster ride of all of it. I can feel that there have been struggles and strife and that there is currently still some residual emotion there. But when you look at those white kind of almost silvery elements,
I wish you could see it because I like it.
Yeah, no, I can see it. It's beautiful.
Okay, so it's painted white all around, but I like the way the silver pops.
So that to me is the bridge. That's the bridge of hope. That's the bridge of possibility. That's the bridge of I'm willing to go across the threshold and do the thing I think I cannot do.
Right.
And it's between these two worlds of this old hurt and what's still there, but then there's this world of possible transformation where you can pull yourself out of that, and it's amazing how much of that you can feel. You may not process it all intellectually, but you're getting all of it just from a quick look of your work. And it helps us also sort of turn the mirror back on our own lives and wonder, okay, what have I overcome? What am I still trying to deal with or handle or heal? Mm-hmm. And what would my bridge to that healing be?
Right.
So it's beautiful.
This one, I was supposed to use colors that I supposed to use colors that I don't really like. I love green, but not that type. I like more of a, I don't know, a deeper, richer, more natural color green. Oh, I guess that green is pretty natural too. Forest green, I think, is what I really like. But I don't, what was this one for, Susie?
I asked you to paint with things that you normally did not paint with.
Right.
So we tend to be like horses going back to the barn when it comes to when we're first learning.
I also did one I liked. That's me, my colors.
Yes. Now, but here's what I want. I want people to see when they look at this work. Hmm. It has a level of energy to it that is dynamite.
Oh, good.
And you may look at it and go, well, I don't really like that green, because this is what our brain does to us, right?
Yeah.
But I can tell you, as a person who is viewing this, is that I am excited. I am on fire when I look at this. And it is this beautiful sort of tension between this pale, soft background and these wild, bold marks. And I'm going between the two worlds, and it is very, very compelling.
Oh,
now,
good.
Flip your book around to the other page.
I just thought this was so beautiful.
And look how soft and meditative and sweet this is. Right.
Right.
So it has a whole different kind of an emotional reaction in the viewer as well as from within you. And that's the point. That is the point.
We love these colors.
I was trying to push you into territory, because what we tend to do is get cozy with a few colors and do the same marks, the same kinds of colors. Mm-hmm. And that's not exciting for our soul.
That's true. And I had a lot of different colors to do. I want to show this wheel. I know that it isn't finished. I did work on it on a different piece of paper, though. But I think it's helpful to look at this.
Yes.
So I'm still working on mine. But I took notes on another piece of paper. I thought that this is, talk to us a little bit about this. This was really important.
Yes. So that's Simon Sinek's Golden Circle. Mm-hmm. And once again, people buy why you do something, not what you're doing.
Right.
And so you start with that in the center. So you have three concentric circles that look like a bullseye. Mm-hmm. Why is the most important element? That goes in the center, and you work on that first. It is a little bit of a slippery journey, because it takes a while to keep chipping through and getting down to what the real thing is that you're passionate about, and locking in on what it is that you believe and why you really want to do the thing.
Right.
So after you nail that, then you go into the how concentric ring, which is the next rung out. And that's really about what it is that you're offering. How are you designing that? How are you designing your business to be unique? Mm-hmm. What is special and different about that design? And the last thing is what you're offering. So are you doing some coaching? Are you speaking? Are you writing a book? Are you offering group classes? So it's the things that go in alignment with what we truly talk about when we're marketing. I do this, this, and this. That's your what. But it's the least important piece, because if you don't grab them with the why, they're never going to care about the what, ever.
Yes, it's true. And it's perfect timing, because I started doing some media training. Someone reached out to me and saw my resume on Upwork. And it was really nice, because they were able to see, like, oh my gosh, she's been in media, health, you know, health media since 1998, started in television, then radio, and then podcasts. And it was so nice, because I didn't say anything about media training, but he's like, I need some media training. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes, I've been wanting to do that for years, but I didn't feel confident enough, or I don't know where to get started. But then I tell my husband, he's like, oh my God, are you kidding me? And I tell my friends, that's perfect. you know how you've been doing all this and you could give great advice and you're really supportive and you'd be gentle but firm and like all of the things. And now I'm starting to study a lot, figure everything out I need to figure out. I'm going to create a website and the whole thing. But now I've got those circles to really help me out. So and I'm loving
it.
I couldn't have gotten luckier. He's the nicest guy. And he wrote a great book and we're having fun. It's really fun.
That's it, baby. Yeah. That's the trifecta. That is the trifecta. And that's actually how it happens. Mm-hmm. So did you notice how quote unquote easy it was for this to happen? Right?
Yes.
So we leave the world of efforting, of trying to get to China by digging a tunnel with a teaspoon. Right? Which you can do. It's going to take you 100 years, but you can get there eventually. Or we can connect in with ourselves in very powerful ways by tapping into our innate creativity. And when we connect with ourselves, all of a sudden we're visible to the world and people will come to us and see things in us that we're not even talking about yet.
Right.
It's incredible.
It really is. So this has just been amazing. Susie, did you have more questions?
Just curious, going forward, can you predict how your life and business will be different as a result of being in the masterclass?
Oh, absolutely. I have more confidence. I'm not as afraid to try new things. You know, it's been over 10 years that I've been like media training. But your class and then the fact that this guy showed up during the class. Again, having that framework of the why, the what, the how, and really taking the time rather than just, I'm just going to start something and not really think about it. And I'm just going to throw something up there half-assed, which I don't do. I'm not a half-assed person. But now I realize like, it's okay if it takes longer. It's okay. I don't have to be ready tomorrow. I can really work with this guy as long as he needs me. If it takes 6 months for me to really feel ready and confident and have everything out there and the marketing and all my strategy, that's okay. But you put me on a path that otherwise I wouldn't have had the courage or the confidence to do. So that's what made such a difference, Susie. So I appreciate you tremendously.
That's music to my ears.
Oh, good.
And that is my why, right? To,
yes.
To help, because I believe that tapping into your innate creativity is the skeleton key for everything that we want.
Right.
And when we let ourselves believe that and we let ourselves lean into it and start to actually live and work that way,
mm-hmm.
It's a magic carpet ride. So congratulations,
yes.
Because you have done a tremendous amount of work and you have already exhibited a phenomenal amount of courage too.
No,
so
thank
well
you,
done.
Susie. Well, I everyone needs to read your book. First of all, Boyan is fantastic. I can't recommend this class highly enough. It really was wonderful. It's a Sketchbook Entrepreneur Masterclass. There is a link in the bio. Tell us about that link, Susie, and where it'll take them in the show notes, not the bio.
So there is a link to a page on my website for listeners of the show. And the URL is innovationandcreativityinstitute.com/bestie, BESTIE. And there you can access a toolkit and it's a free download. You can get lots of goodies there. And you'll also be able to receive my weekly newsletter. And that's sort of a nice injection of inspiration to get your weekend going. And there'll be announcements and so forth in that. If you're interested in any of my mm-hmm. programs or workshops, you can keep up with what's going on through that.
Now, can we find you on social media and LinkedIn and all that good stuff?
Everywhere. I'm everywhere. And you will also be able to see by going to my website how to connect with me on all the social channels. And I would love to connect with folks. And I would love to hear what your dreams are, what your passions are, mm-hmm. where are you stuck? And if you need some help, I will do a 30-minute free consultation with folks and try to get you out of whatever stuck spot you're in and get you going.
Well, I want to mention too that my husband's a big fan of yours because I was doing this at the kitchen table and he is Mr. Active, but he has a herniated disc. He's doing a lot better. But the first 2 weeks he was flat out. And I would see him when you were talking and he'd be like, yeah, I like that. You know, so he's your fan too. He's, you know, very creative, artistic kind of guy as well. So
perfect.
You're wonderful. This was so much fun. Come back soon and I'll keep you updated with my media training and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. Congratulations. This is just the beginning of many, many wonderful things. So thank you.
And this is the first time I've announced it. So I'm pretty excited. All right, everybody, but I'm going to keep doing Health Power. It's too good to stop. Everybody keep coming back 5 days a week. We've got some great things coming up. Just rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Thanks so much.
Well, that's it for our show today. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. And we would appreciate it if you could please rate and review and leave a comment, because the more you engage with our podcast, the more you will find it and help other people find it wherever they listen to their podcast. So be sure to follow us. I'm at Andrea Donsky and at Naturally Savvy, and Lisa
at Lisa Davis MPH.
Thank you so much. And please share this episode, because the more you share shows you care. We'll see you next time.